Back in your books, if you would, my wife already discussed this and I forgot to share it, but the next thing on there was the currency is a husband's currency, which is respect. A husband's currency, which is respect.
Love.
No, a husband's currency is respect.
That's what that is. But I already did that one.
I realize that, but I did not tell them that the answer. Okay, thank you. All
right. Couple working together right here.
We're good. We're good.
Hang
we're
on, good. Let me put myself underneath your authority. Yes, okay. Sir. You got it. Right.
All right. The next one is, since she's already discussed that, the next one in your book is a wife's currency is love. A wife's currency is love. I want to talk just a minute about this. B, a wife's currency is love. Well, you may be on A. I'm not real sure where you're at, but I mean, well, that's not a surprise. All right.
The coffee will be ready in about 5 minutes if you're looking for it. Okay.
When you look at this, you know, a wife's currency, what we understand the need that our wives had is that to be loved. And, you know, a lot of times as a man, we think of love, we go immediately to the physical attraction, the intimacy, the sex aspect of it. And that is definitely part of it for sure. But one of the great things of love that we see is that often as men, we think, you know, if we provide, if we put food on the table, we have good cars or we fix things that fulfills our responsibility in marriage. We think that maybe that's what will show our wife that we love them. And in reality, you got to stop and think about this, that providing is important, but our wives need so much more than just that. She needs our frequent expressions of affection and of love to show her. And not just, and the thing is, fellas, is not just 3 times a year, not just on Valentine's Day, her birthday, and Christmas. She needs us to show an affection and a love for her all the time. And practice in that. Matter of fact, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, the Bible tells us, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. A couple of things he tells us there to do as husbands. The first thing is that we're to dwell with them. We are to reside together with them according to a knowledge. And the knowledge is a couple of things here. It is the truth. And we understand that the truth is the Word of God, that you and I have a responsibility to lead not just our home, but to lead our spouse and our children, our grandchildren, in the teaching of the Word of God as well. But also, you look at this, that word knowledge means this. It means to know and to really study our wives. For instance, I'm very guilty of this. I think I'll let my wife talk about it. She told me this just right before we came. How many guys, when Christmas rolls around, birthdays roll around, you have to ask this question, what do you want for your birthday? Are we all pretty much guilty for that, aren't we, guys? You know the reason is, the reality is because when he says here in verse number 7 that we are to, again, dwell with them according to knowledge, knowing her, studying her, listening to her, the little things that she drops, the little lines that she drops, and I was so guilty. And I didn't realize how it affected her. You know, I thought, man, asking her what she wants, I thought I was being a really good husband. You know, I thought that was very kind of me, at least ask her. You know, that way I didn't give her something she didn't want.
But in the Hallmark movies, the man... He studies the woman, right? He knows the woman, but just by how she... And he didn't have to say, what do you want? He shows up with a gift. And this is kind of funny, but be honest with me, ladies. Isn't it so special to your heart when he doesn't ask you what you want, but yet he shows up with the amazing gift, like that touches your whole heart? Most
guys, isn't it amazing, those Hallmark women, that all you got to do is get a rock out of the desert and bring it to her, and she's satisfied for a year.
But I was sharing with Doug today, though, that what was it for again? I forgot. What's
I have
bought?
No idea. I'm totally lost right now. I have no idea. I don't know.
He got me something. I forgot what it was. Oh, what the occasion was. Oh, Mother's Day. Okay, so for Mother's Day, he didn't ask me at all what I wanted, which was first strange, but I was like, oh. Okay, he's probably not going to get me anything. It was really busy that weekend anyway. But my Mother's Day gift he gave me that day. It was this sign that had, it said, Lala's house. What happens at Lala's house stays at Lala. It was just the cutest, most thoughtful gift. And he never asked me. He just did it on his own. And I was trying to explain to him that meant more to me than anything, because it was you expressing your thoughtfulness on how you knew me and what you knew would bless me. So, but isn't that the truth, ladies? Are you with me on this? I'm not up here by myself in the deep mud because I mentioned the Hallmark man. But that really does bless. So when they ask us, I know their intention is right. Okay, they want to please us, but what pleases us is them to study us and know us. Yes. Amen in the crowd. I like it.
She didn't say it many times. But you understand right now, women, the reason the men are just sitting there is we all are in our nothing box right now. We're like, I don't know what she's talking about. Oh, and by the way, you remember what the guy said? We don't care. I'm not even going to call. I'm scared to know.
Is the coffee ready?
I don't know if you got a question or you're airing out your armpit, but with one, Miss Linda's not going to appreciate the second one. That's okay. Hold on. I'll go with that, bro. That is true, ladies. If we do have to ask, understand from mass, please don't tell us nothing.
The reason is because we want you to study us and you to come up with it on your own. Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So, gentlemen, all I can say is there's your answer. All right. Here's the thing, gentlemen, wives. Don't get mad when your husband goes home tonight in the bedroom and says, lay on the bed, I'm going to study you. All right? Because I want to know, and I want to figure out what you want. Okay? I'm just going to go there. If we're going to go to the Hallmark man, let's just go. All right? So, ladies, don't get mad if your husband comes and starts hugging and loving on you because he wants to study you. Okay? All right. And so, all right. I knew I'd get a couple of amen from the guys on that one, so. Anyway, all right. Now let us get back on track and do what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, good luck on that one.
And talking about God and the Bible. Okay. All right. So really, when you really look at this verse, it is true. Because I asked my wife, and we're talking about, it is important as men to understand what he says there, to not just dwell with them according to that knowledge and getting to know our wives, their desires, the things that they like, listening to them. Matter of fact, just the other night, I was sitting in the living room. Me and my wife, sometimes we'll watch the Food Network, and we watch those cooking shows. And there's a commercial came on. It was ice cream machine, and how you can pour the things in the ice cream machine. And I just heard her say, "Man, I sure would like to have one of those." And so I put that mental note into one of my boxes in my head. Okay, I hope it's not the nothing box because I won't remember it if it is. For the next time, I thought, you know what? Hey, man, there's something I can get for her. And so I want to be able to do these things for her. I want to be able, when she told me that she said, you know, sometimes it couldn't hurt when you have to ask me what I want to let me know that I'm not paying attention, I'm not listening to the things that she puts out. And it's not just in the matter of gifts. It's also in the matter of the things that she needs and the pain or maybe things she's going through that she's hurting that. And she doesn't need me to come in as Dr. Phil and try to figure out. What she needs me to do is just listen to her.
Amen.
She just needs me to be a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on. That's what she needs. She doesn't need, and that's one thing I've tried to figure out too, is that sometimes when she comes and she's having a bad day and she wants to talk, she doesn't need me to try to say, well, here's what you should have done, and here's what you can do, and you should do this. She didn't need me to say anything. And she told me, she said, babe, all I want you to do is just to sympathize and listen to me. That's it. And so it's not necessarily gifts all the time. It's acknowledging when your wife needs that break. It's acknowledging when your wife needs a rest. It's acknowledging when you're not wife. Listen to this. When your wife needs that time with you. She may not come right out and say, hey, stop what you're doing with your job. Stop doing that. I need to have time with you. We have to take that knowledge and pay attention and know when our wives are to that point. Maybe they're at a wit's end. Maybe they're with the kids and they're staying at home, and maybe they need to have that time where it's just you and her and you get to go out on a date. And maybe she needs that, and we have to, as men, we have to acknowledge that. We have to pay attention to that and listen to those things when she's hurting, when she has these needs, and pay attention to those things and not continually have to be asking her, now, is this what you want? Is this what you need? Or what can I do? Or what can I say? Sometimes, guys, listen to me, just being there is all they need.
One time, it was early in the ministry. It's just one of those financial straits. It was just tough for us. We were still young. We were at our first church, and Valentine's Day rolled around. And we didn't have the money to go anywhere, didn't have the money to even go out on a date at the time. It was tight. But I came home from work, and I opened the door, and in toilet paper, my husband put this arrow on the floor in the foyer pointing to where I should go. So I had to follow these toilet paper arrows to the living room. And in the living room, there in the center of the floor, it was our first Valentine's Day, right? Mm-hmm. So there was a single red rose and a card. And again, money was tight. That was about the gist of what we could afford, was an extra package of toilet paper and a rose. But again, that's another one of those gifts that meant everything to me, because I knew that he was thinking of me. He wanted me to know that he loved me. And if it was just in toilet tissue, he was going to express that. And that really touched my heart. But he's also really good at expressing love with a sticky note. He writes me notes often, and he'll stick them where I find them. And now that he's gotten really good at texting, he'll text me a random note in the day, and he'll express appreciation or love. And so, and they cost nothing but a few moments of time. And that does more for me than a trip, really. My love language is words anyway. So I love words. I love cards. And he has figured that out. And he loves me and expresses that in those ways. And they are very inexpensive.
Yeah. You know, the Bible also tells us there not just to dwell with them according to knowledge, but giving honor unto the wife, to esteem, to value the wife. Sometimes we have to look, gentlemen, for ways we can value our wives and show them that they're important. One of the things that I try to do as often as I can is open the door for my wife on the car. I try to beat her out to the car in the garage so I can open the door for her if she goes somewhere, so I can open the door and shut the door for her. And I'm kind because I wait till she gets all the way in. And it's amazing that when we go to a restaurant, I try to do my best to pull up to the restaurant, get her as close as I can to the restaurant so she can get out, has a shorter walk, and then I'll go park the car. It's just little things that man, we ought to try to do just what the Bible says there, to honor her for who she is to you and I, who God has given to us. And it takes nothing. And I'm going to pick on a couple right now. I hope not to embarrass them, but I love watching Gary and Char walk into church. As soon as they get out of their car, you watch them, and immediately they'll grab each other's hand, just like a dating couple. And they'll walk in, and you see them walk in and all that. And I'm thinking, man, it's little things like that, fellas, that doesn't cost us a dime.
Yeah.
But it's just being able to honor her, to value her, to let her know how special she is to you, how important she is to you. Opening the door, taking her by the hand, giving her a kiss goodbye, writing a little sticky note, just telling her, it doesn't matter if you've been married 60 years, telling her how she still lights up your life and you love her and she is the most beautiful woman in the entire world. That doesn't cost anything, fellas. That's what the Bible tells us we ought to do in being able to give the wife's currency of love. John chapter 15, in verses number 12 and 13, the Bible tells us, Jesus says this. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You see here, as we look at this, he gives us two specific ways to show love. First, we love by sacrificing. as Christ sacrificed for us. Do you realize that when Christ sacrificed for us, He sacrificed by leaving the beauties of heaven. He sacrificed by coming here to be a sacrifice for all of us. He sacrificed of His wants, His needs. Remember, He said, Father, if there be any other way, but if not, not my will, but thine will be done. That's what sacrificial mindset is. Not about me, but about my God, about my wife, not about me. Loving her with a sacrificial love. To love her in that way as Christ was our sacrifice. He didn't come to be pomp and circumstance and be lifted up. He came to sacrifice Himself for you and for me. And it's not just the sacrificial love of our Savior, but you listen to me, we ought to have a servant's love for our Savior that we have for our wife. Gentlemen, there's no greater pleasure, listen to me, than being able to serve your wife. No greater pleasure. There's not a man in the earth who is over, who's too good to wash dishes. I can't cook. My mom didn't teach me. My wife is a tremendous cook. But Kurt, I can't cook, but I can wash dishes. Pastor, men aren't supposed to do that. I don't agree with you on that. My Bible says that I'm to honor her and to value and cherish her. If she has to take the time to cook for me, then I can certainly take the time to do the dishes for her. I don't mind doing laundry. I don't mind cleaning the house. I don't mind working in the yard. I don't mind watering her garden, her plants for her. I don't mind doing that. Why? Because one, I want to do it for her because I love her. But two, I want to do it because I really understand that the Bible tells me from Christ Himself that I'm to love her in that way. I'm to love her sacrificially, and I'm to love her to serve her and to be her husband and to look for opportunities I can serve her. Look for opportunities that I can do things for her. Look for opportunities when I know she's been working hard and on her feet at the end of the day to let her go sit in a chair and let me go do something so she can rest because I know what she's done. And that's what we ought to do, fellas, is that sacrificial and that servant's love. I was reading this today, and I want to read it so I don't say it wrong. An illustration, Dr. Daniel Kim, who pastored the Bible Baptist Church in Seoul, Korea for over 50 years, he shared the story of when he asked his prospective father-in-law for his daughter, Young Soon's hand in marriage. Before answering, Dr. Kim, his father-in-law-to-be, told him a story from almost 20 years earlier. He said, during the Korean War, he and his family were fleeing what is now North Korea for the South. It was a journey of many miles, made completely on foot, mostly under cover of darkness. Young Soon, who was now Dr. Kim's wife, was very young and would often cry. She was a great danger to herself and the entire group. In fact, the group they were with insisted that Mr. Kim separate from them for their safety. He continued on without them, carrying Young Soon, his daughter, the entire journey to the South. It says, as Mr. Kim finished the story, he looked at the young man asking for his daughter's hand in marriage, and he said, I risked my life for her, he said, and she is my most treasured possession. He said, you may marry her if you promise to love her like I love her. What does the dad say? From North Korea to South Korea, I carried this little girl. She cried. I was asked to even separate from the group for fear that they would find us at night. But he said, I stayed with her and I walked her. And he told him, if you'll love her the way I love her and care for her, then you can be her husband. That's what we ought to do, gentlemen. That's the kind of love we ought to have for our wives. That sacrificial love of being able to serve in such that manner, in such that way. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 29 tells us something here. If you want to look at Ephesians 5:25 first, the Bible says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you understand this? The most of us know nothing of the kind of sacrificial love that Jesus gave to us. We don't know that. But Jesus, under the inspiration of God, and Paul, under the inspiration of God, wrote verse number 29, which he tells us how to love as Christ loved the church. So look at verse number 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know how he said we ought to love them? We ought to love them like we love ourselves. How many of you know this, guys, that we can be very selfish, very prideful, we can be very egotistical as well. We love us. All right. Again, I use the very easy illustration of this. You ever ask your wife, where do you want to go eat? I don't care. Where do you want to go eat? Well, let's go here. Well, I don't. You just told me you didn't care where we went and ate at. You stop and think about the understanding that we are to love our wives as we love ourselves. We nourish ourselves. We feed ourselves. We absolutely come. We cherish ourselves. We do the things that we want to do when we want to do them. That's the way we ought to love our wives, is the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself sacrificially and with a servant's heart. It's how we ought to love our wives. There's nothing that should be beyond or above you and I as a husband to be able to do for our wives. You hear so many times, well, it's not a man's job to do that. Let me share something with you. That's the world's philosophy, folks. That's not what I see given to us in the Bible. You and I would learn to love our wives correctly and understand that the wife's currency is that of love. The next thing we see is the currency conversions. You see, exchanging the currencies of love and respect, it's the husband purposely learning to convert the respect he feels for his wife into loving words and actions, and it's the wife learning to convert the love she feels for her husband into honoring words and actions. You understand that generally a husband finds it more natural to convey respect to his wife than he does to convey love. He also can feel more insulted when he does not perceive her conveying respect to him. And similarly, it's more natural for a wife to show affection than respect and to feel more hurt when her husband shows respect without affection. So, how can we perform these commands that God gives us? I want you to look at the next thing in your book is this, and I'm going to turn this over part to my wife, is this. How do we see this? For a man, demonstrating respect. How do we do this? Demonstrating respect. Ladies, how can you demonstrate, show that respect that the Bible calls for you to do in your biblical role?
The first one is this, is to give genuine acceptance. Respect begins with acceptance. If we can show that acceptance with our husbands, every husband has his strengths and weaknesses. And I'm not saying to you, nor is the Bible telling you to respect or ignore the imperfections that come, but we can still respect him as the man. Does that make sense? Like, they're going to fall and they're going to falter. And we're not saying lie to him and say, oh, that was wonderful, when it wasn't. It's not that. But respect him as a person and be genuine about that. I think our husbands blossom the most where they're planted when we can show them the respect they deserve, putting ourselves underneath them, trusting them, honoring them, and allowing that to show with a fervorance in our attitude and our love for them. So we want to avoid those times where we can compare them. Well, you know, I wish you were more like so-and-so. I wish you could do this. I wish you could do this. You know, my husband is not a, he's not about construction, and he's definitely not a car mechanic. And we joke about this all the time. But I highly respect the talents and the abilities that God's given him. So I'm not constantly, you know, putting him down or comparing him to somebody because he doesn't know how to do carpentry work or because he doesn't know how to fix the car. But I want to respect the fact that God has a different calling on his life. And that's what I want to highlight in his life are the things that, that he does and does well for the Lord. I want to respect him for that. I want to lift him up in that. I want to appreciate, the personality and the person that God made him to be. When we were dating, we didn't have a problem ooing and gooing over all these wonderful aspects about our husband. But somehow when we got married, some of these things started to drive us batty. And it was because our focus was off of pursuing him and winning him, because now we had him. Now we're in the mindset, let me change him, instead of accepting him. So giving him that genuine acceptance, let him know how thankful that you are that God gave him to you. And the next one is this, is to support his decisions. Respect communicates confidence. And if we can respect those decisions that our husbands are making, then it's going to build a confidence in him and allow him to continue on doing just those things, to continue to be the man that God's called him to be without hesitation, without that wondering of knowing. Again, that doesn't mean that we never show our opinion. I think in a marriage that is 100% and 100% coming to the table, I think we offer and afford our opinions so that we can better each other. So it doesn't mean being quiet and not sharing your opinion. But once a decision has been made by your husband, I think at that point, then we have to prayerfully come behind that and decide that we're going to respect that and on purpose put ourselves underneath that. And that's us coming to a place where we can genuinely show our support for his decision. The third thing would be to be his recreational partner. I know it's kind of easy for Doug and I to go out and do something athletically. I love sports, always been into sports. We like to play golf together. I'll even go bowling with him. I'm terrible at it, but tried that, but I'll still go. Just the things that he's interested in. Don't let it just be his hobby and you take the excuse of, oh, great, he's going to go do this today. I'm going to let him go do it. But participate with him in those things. We ought to live with one another joyfully and enjoy those things. Even if you just, let's say it was golf. Let's just say you went and you just drove the cart, but you got to spend that time together and you got to watch him play golf. Enjoy watching him do that. I remember when we were dating, Sunday afternoons, the guys would always go play football at the high school field. And so one of the things I loved to do was just to go because I had a crush on him, number one. But I wanted to go and watch him play and be there, just to be there, just to be present. We did that when we were younger. We would go where the person that we liked was there. We just want to be in their presence. You know, but when we get married, we take it as an opportunity for me time. And some of those times need to be us time. So join him on those recreational journeys. If he wants to go play golf or if he wants to go do something, go on a hike or go on a walk. We take a walk together almost every morning. Sometimes it's silent, but it's just our presence with each other that means everything. So just enjoying those times together, not just letting it be his hobby and you remove yourself from it, but be a part of it. The fourth thing is this, and that's pray for your husband's success. You know, one of the greatest expressions that we can have for our husbands is believing that God has a purpose for them and expressing that not only in our conversation, but in our prayer time. My prayer for him on a daily basis is that he'll continue to love Christ. And I pray that God would lead him and that he would follow him in wisdom and discretion. I pray that God would protect his mind and his testimony, his influence that he has not only over our church family, but in our community. And I pray that God would protect him from the wickedness and the evilness of this world. I pray that God would give him discernment to rightly divide the word of truth so that every time he comes in this pulpit, he speaks the word. I pray for him every day on that. I pray that he would protect our marriage, keep us as one. But that's an expression that I can do. That's how I can demonstrate my respect that I have for this man, is believing that God has a purpose, but then praying for that purpose, praying for his success, taking part in what that looks like down the road. And then the last one, number five, is to praise him. Praise him in private, but also praise him in the public. Every one of us actually can grow and flourish when we have somebody dishing out to us sincere encouragement in our life, speaking blessing over us. It should be specific. You know, don't just, hey, you're doing great. Have a good day. Send them out the door. But be specific with that. you know, he's not only my husband, but he's also my pastor, just like he's your pastor. So, man, when there's a good sermon, man, that's one of the, that was an awesome sermon. You know, that was a great sermon. Praise him, you know, frequently. Let them know that you appreciate who they are in your life and how they're leading you in your life, or appreciate you. You know, every time I cook, he truly does do the dishes. I don't hardly do the dishes at my house at all. That's, we'd partner up. I cook, he cleans, and that just works out so amazingly. But you know, expressing that appreciation, and oftentimes I'll forget, and probably ought to do it more. But those things, we should praise him and do it publicly, and also privately. You know, privately when you can sit down and have a conversation when you're praising your husband, it brings us to a place that's very intimate and personal. And you can go into more detail in praising him for who he is and what he means to you. But to do him in both places, also in public, you know, it's easy for us to, and we can banter with each other, and I'm not saying we don't ever joke about each other or whatever, but there's a line that's still there. And so I never want to, in public, do the opposite of praise my husband, which is tear him down. I would never want to tear him down in front of you. I would never want to point out his weaknesses or to talk about how ridiculous he is sometimes, or a decision that he made, and just talk bad about him, because that not only destroys him, but it also destroys the influence that he has in your life. And it can be the same thing for your husband. You know, don't tear him down. Make fun of him. Make fun of his weaknesses. Constantly, you know, put a negative connotation on his name, because that ruins his testimony, ruins who he is, and it ruins him. You know, and so when you speak about your husband, speak about him with honor. Speak about him with reverence. Remember who he is and the position he holds, and don't destroy that. Because not only would you destroy his reputation, his influence, but you would destroy his heart. And that would play a very negative role on your marriage. So never belittle him. Never belittle him. As Christian wives, we ought to be known, not for tearing our husbands down, but we ought to be known as professing Christians of honoring our husband. That ought to be our testimony. Oh, she said she loves Jesus. Man, she's tearing down her husband. Doesn't the Bible say you should honor your husband? You should respect your husband? And we want to have the testimony that we honor our husbands. Respect is something that it's not earned every day, because we're not perfect, and our husbands aren't going to do something every day that necessarily earns our respect. But biblically speaking, it's chosen every day. And ladies, we ought to choose to respect our husbands every day. Not because it's necessarily always earned, but because the Bible says that we should.
All right. The five things that a husband can do to communicate love to his wife. The first one is to seek to understand her. We talked about that a few minutes ago. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, is that you and I ought to constantly be seeking to understand our wife, to know her, know more about her. Again, that's something that on a daily basis, that we ought to constantly as husbands be seeking to understand her. The second thing is this, is that the way that as a husband can communicate love to his wife is to take initiative in the matter of spiritual matters. To take initiative in the matter of spiritual matters. To be able to be that one, as we talked about last night with the men that were in here, be that spiritual leader of your home. You know, again, as I said, Joshua 24:15, Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." The husband ought to be the one that, hey, get the kids ready. Let's get ready. We're going to church. And we're going to go to church, and we're going to be at church, because we know that through the preaching and the teaching, it's going to be beneficial to not just us individually, but to our kids and our grandkids or whoever we might have an influence over, is to take initiative in the spiritual matters. Some of the greatest conversations that me and my wife have is when we talk about the Lord. When we just sit down and it's not about anything or anybody, But we're just able to share, hey, here's what I read. She says, here's what I've read. And to sit down and just discuss the goodness of God. Being able to sit down with your wife and discuss to where the blessings of God. Me and my wife have looked back over 30 years and we've seen just how good and faithful God has been to us. And we rejoice together and we thank God together in that. To be able to read and to pray and what an opportunity to be able to serve alongside of your wife. And to be able to take those initiatives, to take that first step as the leader of the home. You say, what can be my first thing as a leader in the home? Just this, take that spiritual initiative. Be the husband that's going to lead your family and lead them correctly. Joshua said, I'm going to lead my family. I can't worry about what everybody else is going to do. You've got to make a decision. But as for me, Joshua said, I understand. I am the authority. I am the leader of my home. And as for me and my house, here's what he said. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful in our walk. We're going to be faithful in all areas of our life. And so, husbands, to take that initiative in spiritual matters. The third way that you can communicate love is give and communicate security to your wife. Give and communicate security to your wife. What do you mean by that? Be that provider that she needs. Be that one that provides the needs that your wife has in her life. To provide, you know, the home, to be able to provide the material things that you can, but also to provide that security. To let her know that you're going to be there. To let her know that she's not going to be alone. That she, if she's going through something, to let her know she's not walking through this by herself. You're going to walk with it through her. If your wife was to get a diagnosis in her physical health, it's for you to be able to say, hey, I'm going to come along. We're going to get through this together. I'm going to be here with you every step of the way. Whatever you need, I'm going to be here with you in that. That's what we ought to do, is to give and to communicate that security that our wives need. What is the greatest security our wives need? Just to know that we're going to be there. That's it. Just to know that you and I are going to be there for them. We're going to listen. We're going to walk with them. We're going to help them. We're going to talk with them. We're going to be right there with them every step of the way. The fourth thing is this. Spend time together as a family. Spend time together as a family. You see, I was reading, it says that women are wired to care for family relationships, and to communicate love to her is being able to spend time with the family. I know, because men, we have said this. Man, I wish... Some of us are in different places of our life. Man and wife, we would love to be back home more often to be able to see, obviously, our boys, you know, our daughter-in-law, but most assuredly that beautiful grandson that's sitting back in Texas. But you could be on that other end and say, man, my family's all here. I wish we just had time to ourselves. Well, if you want to communicate love, you communicate love, especially to a woman, by spending time together as a family. I love being able to spend time with my family. My boys are grown. Cody came just not too long ago. We met him up there in Moab, Utah. We got to spend 3 days with him, just me and AJ and him. We rented bikes and rode. My son's almost 30 years old, and we just got to spend that time with him. And I'll be truthful with you, I enjoyed it, but my greatest joy was to see her enjoy it. She loves being with her boys. Mamas, you understand that, the love that you have for your children. So, sometimes it's almost like a different love, almost to an extent, because of the love of mom. And the joy for me to be able to see her and the love that she had, that we got to spend time. We get to go back and spend time with our boys, get to go back and spend time, and we love that time. But, gentlemen, understanding this, again, being able to spend time together as a family. I think sometimes we get, if the wife says, well, I'm going to go and take the kids, and we're like, yeah, okay, all right, I'll be here when you get back. We're like, woo, thank the Lord. All right. Thank the Lord for these 2 hours that I can sit here in my nothing box. All right. That they're out of the picture. But the reality is this, man, we ought to be able to understand the way that they're wired. Women just have those relationships with their families. And you and I want to commit and we want to communicate love. It's understanding. It's being able to spend time together as a family, except for with your mother-in-laws, but outside of the rest of the family, it is.
I would say this, one of the blessings, I know it's just me and him, empty nesters, but if I have to go to the store, I have to run an errand, and I'll let him know, I'll say, hey, I need to go to the store, I need to pick this up, or I need to do this. He's like, hey, do you want me to drive you? I don't know why this makes me teary-eyed, but yes, that fills my whole heart. Because that's a communication of love that he wants to, he just wants to drive me to the store so I don't have to go by myself. And I'm so thankful for those things. But that, I mean, that it seems so little, but it's actually so big to my heart.
And then the last one is being able to communicate appreciation for who she is. We understand none of our wives are perfect. None of our husbands are perfect. But we ought to be able to communicate appreciation for who she is. You realize your wife fills so many shoes in the role of your family and in your life. I thank God for her as a mom. Thank God for her as a Lala. I thank God for her as a pastor's wife. I thank God for her as my best friend and my wife. Gentlemen, you and I have got to constantly be communicating appreciation to her for who she is, for the roles that she has and she plays in each and every one of our lives. Don't ever miss an opportunity, okay? Don't ever miss an opportunity to brag on your wife. Don't ever miss an opportunity to tell her what a blessing that she is. Don't ever miss it, because you never know. That opportunity may never come again. So when it does come, jump on it and take it and let her know that. In closing, we taught this lesson on the exchange of the heart currency, and the thing about currency is that it doesn't buy anything unless you use it. Everything we've taught tonight is just words. If we don't put it in action, it does not matter. If all we did is what we just heard and we've just locked it in the brain and we've written it down on paper and that's all we've done, it's not going to do any good. Let me leave you with the greatest slogan of all. And that's Nike's slogan, which simply means, says this, just do it. Everything that we've seen, everything that we know to do, given to us in the Bible. You know what it is? None of us are perfect. Just do it. Do what the Bible says. And let God take care of everything else. You and I will be able to experience such a great, great marriage. A good marriage, a great marriage, most assuredly a godly marriage. All right.
Before we close in prayer, we're obviously not going to make it through this book by the end of Saturday. So we want you to know that we're going to finish it together. And so what we'll do is we'll put some events on the calendar. We'll just do a potluck and come together and do a session at a time throughout the year and next year until we finish it. So hang on to it. Don't lose it. And look for those events that will come up, and we'll just say, "Hey, are we there yet? We're gonna have another session. So we might just do a potluck, and you can come, and we can get together and just reiterate and reinforce maybe some conversations that we've had."